What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
We've got big news to start the show. It is official. Tom Brady is retiring from the NFL after a pretty decent career. Also, update from yesterday, it turns out the Rams and Bengals are playing in the Super Bowl. Just in case you heard yesterday's show. Adam, Jamie, and Dave here to talk about Star Wars and football and tight ends and Tom Brady. How many number one finishes did Tom Brady have in his career? QB1. What do you think?
I guess. TB12.
What'd you say?
TB12.
It did not have 12.
I think it's low. I'll say 3.
I'll say 6.
I have him at 1. A 2. Yeah, 2 number 1 finishes.
2007 and
2007, 8, 9 and 2010 it appears. Plus he finished QB2 1, 2, 3, 4 times and QB3 twice. So that would be 8 top 3 finishes in his illustrious career. Not bad. Yeah. So, what do you guys think? You gonna miss him?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've never not ranked Tom Brady. I mean, that's a pretty crazy thing that I've never gone into a season without putting Tom Brady in my rankings. It's gonna be interesting. If I'm the Bucs, I'm doing everything I can to get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. Maybe not in that order. Try and get one of those guys to come because you still have a championship roster, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. Very good offensive line. Mike Evans, we'll see what happens. Most likely we're going to do a Gronk podcast probably soon as well if he stays true to his word. But if you could find a way to get Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in Tampa Bay, that would be, I think, a fun situation to, keep that team relevant. But obviously, yeah, you knew it was coming. 44 years old, going to be 45. 22 years in the league. Greatest quarterback ever, maybe the greatest player ever. So good luck to him in his retirement, and thanks for all the memories.
22 seasons for Tom Brady, and yeah, all the Super Bowls. 5-time Super Bowl MVP, which is amazing, and just destroying everybody in basically every category in the postseason anyway. Postseason wins and yards and all those things. The best football player ever, the most accomplished for sure. Dave, fantasy impact. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, when the Bucs were eliminated. What would they be without Tom Brady? And the last time they didn't have Tom Brady, Chris Godwin was the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy. Mike Evans missed some games, but I think he was number 4 or 5 per game. So they had 2 top 5 wide receivers. Jameis Winston led the league in passing. So, what are your initial thoughts on the Buccaneers without Brady?
You've got to imagine that unless they do make a huge splash at quarterback with Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, it's going to be a big step back for them across the board. And we heard Aaron Rodgers talk about he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild. Does Bruce Arians want to be a part of a rebuild? And if he's talked like he's sticking around in Tampa and even said he'll call the plays if Byron Leftwich leaves. But I wonder if they whiff on Rodgers, they whiff on Wilson. And there isn't another quarterback that they really get who Watson. They think can put up. Sure, maybe they whiff on Watson too. Does Aaron's even stick around? And if he's gone, what is this offense going to be? Is it going to be just as aggressive as it was when he was there with Brady for 2 years, with Jameis for certainly that last year that Winston was there. I think you absolutely have to downgrade everybody that's there at this point. And who's left? Evans, we know for sure, will be there. Another player, Godwin, could be franchise tagged. Sure, he could stay. They could also just let him go. Who knows? I saw a graphic on another website where they put Godwin in an Eagles uniform. Looked weird. It was jarring for a second. Never seen that before. Gronk, probably not going to be around. The running game, who's left? Keyshawn Vaughn? There's just so many possible empty spots there for the Bucs that I don't know if it's fair to say that it's that anybody is going to be a great fantasy option other than Evans, who has this string of 1,000-yard games and might just be okay if they do end up doing the rebuild route with a mediocre quarterback who's a little young and they're trying to just get going.
Yeah, I think it will be fun, though, to see who they do bring in if it's not one of the premier guys, if it's not a Rodgers, a Wilson, a Watson, if there's not an aggressive trade, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, maybe Derek Carr, you know, if Josh McDaniels isn't sold on him and there's good compensation in return. But if it's one of these guys like, and I know it's going to sound ugly, but, you know, Marcus Mariota or Mitchell Trubisky or Jameis Winston, you know, at least as we've seen there, Jameis, at least you know what you're getting. But whoever that guy is going to have some sleeper appeal because of Bruce Arians and because of what they'll probably still put around that guy. So it's not going to be Brady. It's not going to be somebody that you're going to say, okay, must start fantasy quarterback, but certainly somebody that, If you pair a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, you know, some of these, you know, one of these second year quarterbacks or Tua or somebody, you know, you can try to go the combo route. There's probably still going to be a lot of upside because of what Bruce Arians does. I mean, we didn't think Jameis, or at least we've seen it play out, Jameis and the mistakes that he's, you know, made there and what he was in the early part of his career. Bruce Arians turned him into a 5,000-yard passer, you know, so. There's still a lot to like about Bruce Arians and what he'll do for that quarterback. But yes, as Dave said, it is going to be a downgrade for what the next quarterback is, unless it is one of these elite level guys.
And how about just a little bit more food for thought here with the quarterback position? Because if Rodgers, Wilson, Watson, they miss on those three guys. Here are some other quarterbacks that aren't free agents, but might be available. Garoppolo would top the list. I don't think that makes anybody in Tampa Bay really excited. Kirk Cousins would be an expensive option if the Vikings want to move on from him. Gardner Minshew, Carson Wentz, I think those guys can be had. I think Sam Darnold, if they want to, you know, make an intra-division trade, could be had. These are not necessarily the best guys that I would love to have for Mike Evans. I guess Kirk Cousins would be an exception to that. But I had Mike Evans ranked very high coming into 2022, but it was with the assumption Brady was back, Brown wasn't there, Godwin, who knows, that's going to change. I don't know if he's going to be a top 12 receiver now.
Okay. Lots to be determined in Tampa Bay. Things are going to look very different. You can listen to Fantasy Football Today on your smart speakers. Simply say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast, or, hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Whichever service you have, you can listen to us on your smart speaker. Going to turn our attention now to the tight end position, what we saw in 2021, what we learned, and really the big question starts at the top. Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews? Jamie, who's it going to be?
As I told you on Monday's show, you know, I'm torn because I do think that, you know, the lull in the middle of the season when the Chiefs were trying to figure out the way teams were playing them and how the struggle was for everybody there, essentially, thankfully Andy Reid got through that. And you saw the production at the end of the season. Certainly the postseason run for Kelce was amazing. As he said, it's worth noting that, you know, at some point he's going to fall off a cliff. It happens to, you know, almost all the best skill position players. You know, obviously Tom Brady proves that wrong, but. But the skill position players, when they go and they go fast. And, you know, Kelce at some point is going to hit that wall and it's not going to be the same. They're going to be, you know, maybe an injury that happens or maybe a situation that arises that he's just not as great. And the steady decline might be happening, you know, before our eyes, and we're just not recognizing it enough. But I still think it's just too hard to overlook what he gives you consistently year in, year out in this offense with that quarterback, with that coach. And so even though I had Andrews ranked one at the end of the season, I'm probably going to go back to Kelce by the time we get talking.
Oh, all right. Dave, you're on Kelce, right?
I've been on Kelce, and one of my New Year's resolutions for fantasy was to not draft old players. But I think I have to break this one with Kelce just because of how consistent he's been. And Jamie talked about how we're looking for signs or maybe something to show us. Maybe we're not seeing it. Well, of course we're not seeing it. Have you looked how he's played in the playoffs? He's been outstanding. Just an unbelievable part of this Kansas City offense that isn't going to change, that isn't necessarily going to add a big piece at wide receiver that could limit his type of target potential going into 2022. And I think we can still bank on him being a very, very good fantasy tight end. He averaged 15.8 PPR points per game last year. That's low for him. It's down 4.5 points per game from what he did in 2020. But I still see him as one of the best at his position. Here's the other cool thing about it. Last year, in all of our mocks, Kelsey was going as a late first-round pick. I don't think he'll go as a first-round pick in 2022. I think you're going to be able to get him in round two. And he's going to go closer to Andrews. So I think that it's a close call between those two. But I could see Baltimore adding another piece to their passing game, and I could see that piece potentially affecting Andrews more than any piece that would be added to Kansas City. So for now, I have Kelsey at one and Andrews at two.
Okay, and if you look at where the Ravens ranked in pass attempts the last three seasons with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback, I mean, this is a big, big piece of this. 32nd, 32nd, and 9th last year when they lost their two running backs in the preseason and they had a terrible defense. Their defensive rank the last four seasons, 2nd, 3rd, 2nd, and 19th. It wasn't terrible the entire year, but toward the end of the year, it was pretty terrible. But, you know, two things to keep in mind with the Ravens is they're going to run the ball better next year, and what's their defense going to be like? We'll have to wait and see on that. But I want to get your guys' thoughts on these splits. These are incredible. He played 11 games with Lamar Jackson. Now, I'm not counting one game Lamar Jackson threw four passes. So that one's going in the non-Lamar Jackson
slate.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, right? Yes, 11 games. I'm going to give you his 17-game pace in both 11 games with Lamar and 6 games without. All right, here's 11 with. 17-game pace, 87 catches, 1,141 yards, 8 touchdowns on 136 targets, a 23.2% target share. How about his 17-game pace in his 6 games without Lamar Jackson? Well, it goes from 87 catches. This is insane. 87 catches was his pace with Jackson. 145 catches, 1,765 yards, so over 100 yards a game, on pace for 11 touchdowns and 184 targets. So nearly 11 targets per game and a 29.4% target share. The mostly Huntley, but also Johnson, he was just better when those guys played. I don't know what that's all about. The target share was much higher. It also coincided, a little bit with Marquise Brown slumping. But even when
there's a reason Marquise Brown slumping, they weren't throwing the ball.
They were throwing in the ball, though. They just were throwing the ball much to Andrews at a much higher clip than Lamar Jackson was.
Easier target.
And I'll tell you what, and I wish I remembered it exactly. I wish I could find it. But Rich Rebar dug into this a little bit. And what I remember him tweeting, again, maybe you can look this up, Dave, was that Huntley and Johnson were actually more accurate than Lamar Jackson on short and maybe intermediate throws. And they were a better fit for Mark Andrews than Lamar Jackson was. And Lamar Jackson actually ended up being one of the most inaccurate quarterbacks in football last year, but that had a lot to do with how far down the field he was throwing. But he was throwing the ball. I think he led the league in air yards per pass attempt, Lamar Jackson. But anyway, I just thought that was really interesting. He really benefited from the loss of Lamar Jackson. So I don't know if that's going to carry over to next year, Jamie, but what do you think about?
What you're saying is the Ravens should not pay Lamar Jackson. They should go with Huntley and Johnson as their quarterback. And Mark Andrews will be the best player ever in the history of football.
Well, I also think they lost a lot of those games. So, they probably get back to their roots a little bit more. But their defense, obviously, was a big part of the losing, too.
Well, it's also, you said it. The run game, I think, is almost bigger than that because of, what they lost and what they didn't have. So while Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, and for whatever it was in the beginning of the season, Tyson Williams provided them, that's not J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And so it put a lot more on Lamar Jackson, on Huntley, on Josh Johnson, put their defense on the field a lot more because they were having a lot of three and outs and turning the ball over. And so now you're putting, all those things back in place. I'm going to guess they probably invested in their offensive line. Dave mentioned the receiver change. The one change that we'll probably see is the Sammy Watkins replacement because I don't expect him to come back, which is going to be good for Rashad Bateman, still going to be great for Marquise Brown, and obviously great for Mark Andrews. And so you know what the top three pass catchers are most likely going to be. I don't think they make a splash at the receiver spot. So Andrews is just safe. You know, I think he's kind of, you know, put himself, you know, going from the fourth option to the second option. So he's leapfrogged Darren Waller and George Kittle. He should be ahead of Kyle Pitts. He's closer to Kelsey, if not ahead of Kelsey, if you want to go that route. I have no problem with that. The best thing about Andrews, I think, is going to be if you want a top two tight end, he'll probably go toward the back end of round two, whereas Kelsey, as we saw at least in our two drafts, as we talked about on Monday, Adam, went 15th and 16th PPR and half PPR. So Dave's right. He's probably not going to go in the first round, but I don't think he's getting past the first 15 picks for the most part.
Well, one last time, Adam, the 16 or 17 game pace rather for Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews.
That would be
87,040 something, right?
87 catches, 1,141 yards, 8 touchdowns on 136 targets.
It's almost dead on for what Travis Kelce had in 16 games this year, which was an average of 15 PPR points per game.
That is interesting. But that's a 17 game pace compared to 16 games.
It's just a matter of if you're just looking at these two guys, is one ascending and the other descending? And that's the question you have to ask yourself. Is Andrews going to do this year over year? Like, you know, I mean, look, we've seen it. You know, it was Gronk taking over from Gonzalez. It was Kelsey taking over from Gronk. You know, there's the passing of the torch, you know, from, you know, one great tight end to the next. And can Andrews do it consistently? Or, and this is not a knock on him, or is he Jimmy Graham? You know, is he going to be just the second best guy of the top two guys? You know, we just haven't, you know, Kittle got close to Kelsey. He just didn't pass him. Waller got close to Kelsey, just didn't pass him. You know, and I'm saying, you know, over a span, you know, there was, you know, a couple of years for both those guys where they were right there with Kelsey, you know, just in terms of being the best. That year that it was Kelsey, Kittle, and Ertz, you know, the record-breaking season that those three guys had was fantastic. It's just a matter of now, can Andrews be that guy, but be that guy for a couple of seasons? And that's the question, you know, you have to ask yourself. Is this the start of Andrews, or is this just a great season for Andrews that will put him in the top three, top two, you know, maybe number one,
right?
Or past Kelsey, and Kelsey's now going to start to fade?
Or do you end up with a year like Andrews had in 2020, where he averaged just under 12 PPR points per game, which is still great for a tight end, just not for a tight end that you take in round two?
Yeah, it's all about targets. I mean, he basically, what you like about Andrews is that he didn't, well, a lot of things, but he didn't do anything that's unsustainable statistically. It's not like his catch rate, his yards per target, his touchdown rate. It's not like everything went nuts. It just, he got targeted a lot more, and they threw the ball a lot more than they ever had per game. Obviously, they played an extra game. But like I said, they were 32nd in passing two straight years, and then they were 9th in pass attempts.
They're not going back to that. But well, that's not good. Be
yeah. All right. But what you just went on a whole thing about Mark Andrews. Is he the next? Blah, blah, blah. Could you have the same discussion and just take away Mark Andrews and insert Kyle Pitts? Does Kyle Pitts have the potential to unseat Travis Kelce?
Absolutely. But he's probably not going to do it with this quarterback, because as we've seen, Matt Ryan is allergic to throwing touchdowns to his top guys, you know, to the level that you need it to be. You know, now, can he get to 8 touchdowns, like, you know, you just said, with what Andrews' pace is? Absolutely. You know, we you know, Julio Jones, Roddy White, you know, those guys lived basically at 8 touchdowns. You know, you could just pencil in every year. Okay, Julio Jones is going to have 1,500 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. You know, it was just kind of tried and true.
Yeah.
Can Pitts be that guy? Yes, for sure. And the second year is when we see these elite level guys take that leap. And so it's worth buying into. He's my third tight end, and it's not so far off from where Kelsey and Andrews should be drafted, but I think he's going to go in round three. And so, you know, Calvin Ridley, hopefully back with the Falcons. That's something we have to keep an eye on. If Ridley is gone, they're clearly going to have to address the receiver position. Russell Gage is a free agent, you know, so they have a lot of decisions to make there. But, you know, you have Arthur Smith. Where's his history? He was a tight ends coach previously. So those guys always tend to matter in that regard. I'm sure that factored into the draft. Drafting of Kyle Pitts. But, you know, you saw it last year. You know, we're going to say he was a fantasy bust because he didn't score touchdowns and didn't finish to where he was drafted. He didn't live up to that. But as a rookie tight end in the NFL, based on what that position has typically meant and what he did, great season to start his career. And so the expectations were just a little out of control, and they might be out of control again this year because of, you know, I'm not going to be the only one saying this by far. He's got that potential to take that leap and to be in that conversation. I don't think he passes Kelsey. I don't think he passes Andrews, but it would not shock me in any way, shape, or form.
I think he could. I think he could do it. And we talked about targets and what that meant for Andrews and what it's meant for Kelce for all these years, not to mention Waller and Kittle too. We'll talk about that when we get to them. He had 6.5 targets per game as a rookie. That's low. And I would expect that number to go up. I'm counting on Calvin Ridley not being on the Falcons next year. I'm counting on Atlanta bringing in a young receiver to help try and take some coverage away from Kyle Pitts. And I'm hoping that another offseason will give Arthur Smith plenty of time to come up with fresh ideas on how to scheme Kyle Pitts open in the red zone. I think he can be a top three, top two fantasy tight end with Matt Ryan at quarterback, but I think he needs to be saturated in targets. He needs to be in that 8+ target per game range, which is rarefied air for tight ends. Andrews did it last year. Obviously, Kelce did it last year. Obviously, I don't know if there's another guy that did. There's Gronk. He averaged 7.4 targets per game. There is one more, 8.45 targets per game for Darren Waller when he played. So of course you would expect to see something like that for Waller. I think you count on Pitts getting to 8 targets per game, and you draft accordingly. And I have a hard time believing that at 8 targets per game, he does not finish as a top three fantasy tight end, which is why, like Jamie, I've got him third.
Okay. He, Kyle Pitts, led all tight ends in yards per catch and was third at tight end in yards per target behind Dallas Goedert, actually, who was number one, and George Kittle, who was number two. You know, Dave, when you're sitting, you're talking tight ends, you want to crack open a beer. I know you're reaching for a Miller Lite. Miller Lite has always been a great tasting light beer for people who love beer. So what do you think? You're going to sit down and watch a little hoops tomorrow night? A little signing day coverage?
Well, sure. We could definitely do that. But what do you think I was doing on Sunday?
Oh, true.
During the conference championship games? Two awesome games. 2 3-point games. And yeah, it's been a few weeks since I've been watching football in the office. I've been watching at home. I've got a nice big TV at home. I've got a pretty little wife who loves football who sits next to me. And she and I cracked open a couple of Miller Lights and just sat back and enjoyed football. It was unpredictable football. The Bengals winning, I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. The Rams and Niners having a close game, I think a lot of people saw that coming. But what isn't unpredictable is Miller Lite. It's always good and clean and crisp and just the perfect chillaxing type of beer.
Since 1975, Miller Lite has been the beer with the taste you can depend on. No games, no gimmicks, just a great beer for people who like beer. Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Go to MillerLite.com.
Ooh, that's good
for me. There you go. Go to MillerLite.com/FFT to find delivery options near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. You know, I keep forgetting to say this. So I just want to say it before we get back into tight ends. I think if we get a great Super Bowl, yeah,
which we will.
Yeah, hopefully. One possession.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be as good as Super Bowl 55.5, but it'll be good.
I think that there's going to be some type of argument to be made that this has been one of the all-time great NFL seasons. I remember on Red Zone in week 18, they had mentioned we had the most walk-off wins this year in like something like 40 years. And I love the unpredictability. I love that it's Rams-Bengals. I love the
lowest seeded Super Bowl ever.
Really?
2-4 yeah. seeds.
I mean, I'm not sure I'd love that every year, but I love the upheaval this year. It was great to see. And we had so many exciting games and so many exciting finishes. And the playoffs, first round sucked, but the last two rounds have been unbeatable.
How many 3-point games were there? I think almost every game.
The last two weeks.
Chiefs-Bills was not.
Oh, Chiefs-Bills was overtime. Okay, right. So all four games ended on the last play, which, you know what I mean? We're one on the last play in the divisional round.
Playoffs, yep.
And then that happened with one of the two games, and the other one was a 3-point game in the championship round. So
thrillers.
It's been amazing, and I think there'll be some type of metric that comes out putting this season. I really believe it's been one of the best years.
You know what the Bengals' odds were to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, at preseason?
Yep.
I read it, but huge. I already forgot.
I remember sitting in our studio talking about who we thought was going to make the playoffs, and no one said Cincinnati then.
What were the odds?
It's got to be
75-1.
75.
Yeah. Oh, to make the playoffs? No, Pete's been on that.
But to go to the Super Bowl, 75-1?
Super Bowl, no. But playoffs, yes. He said playoffs.
To win the Super Bowl or to go?
To go to the Super Bowl, the odds were 75-1.
To go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
That sounds high.
Not to win the Super Bowl. So that means to win the Super Bowl must have been 150-1.
All right. Let's back to tight ends.
They won two games 2 years ago. They won more games in the playoffs than they did 2 years ago.
Yeah, they have made the best, the fastest, worst two Super Bowl turnaround ever. Or maybe if they win the Super Bowl, it will be the fastest ever from first pick in the draft to the Super Bowl.
Where were the Rams in 1998?
Because the Rams were in that conversation too. Yeah, I just read that yesterday.
Yeah. And I mean, they're, if the Bengals win, and even if they don't, there's going to be all kinds of conversations about how important is offensive line play, how important is the secondary. Like Cincinnati, the way they've gotten here with the team that they have, I mean, no one thought that they could do it. No one, I don't know how many people thought they'd even make the playoffs. Like we talked about, Pete Prisco obviously did, but just their offensive line on paper looks so bad. Their defense on paper really felt underwhelming. And yet here they are.
There's an article.
I wonder what player on the Bengals makes the biggest difference.
There's an article.
McPherson. Must be McPherson.
One of those Fan Nation articles, so I don't really know exactly what to make of it, but on SI.com about how they slowed down the Chiefs offense. And a lot of it's probably accurate because they use, you know, statistics. They drop back in coverage, you know, I think with 8 defenders more than any other game this year. But also, It was just talking about the way they built their team. They prefer depth at defensive back rather than having an elite corner. They like linebackers who can cover. They played a coverage linebacker more in this game than maybe they
Logan
had all
Wilson's
season.
Had a phenomenal season.
So they did a lot of really cool things if you want to read about it. And it's why their defensive coordinator is getting some head coaching buzz. But they seem to be a pretty innovative franchise, and they are overcoming a terrible offensive line. Can they do it one more week? That'll be the question. All right, guys, let's focus. Sorry. Tight ends. Some observations.
You want the ADP, though, first?
Of what?
Where tight ends from last year?
No, that's okay. We'll get into ADP a little bit.
I just looked this up, and then we can talk tight ends. They played more than 50% of their snaps in cover 4 or cover 6 against Kansas City. So really one of those situations where they did dare them to run.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was in the second half.
Yes.
Once again, the top 5 tight ends were all either first or second on their team in targets. The exception would be on a per-game basis, Rob Gronkowski was not. He was 3rd in targets. But the top 5 tight ends, including Zach Ertz, who was 2nd on the Eagles in targets in his tenure there, and then he was 1st in targets with the Cardinals in those games. So that's always something you want to look at. First or second on the team in targets. Almost every top 5 tight end fits that category. How about the last 2 years of tight ends? Mark Andrews this past year scored 90 more PPR fantasy points than tight end 3, Dalton Schultz. I mean, he crushed him. The year before, you compare tight end 1 to tight end 3, Travis Kelce scored 136 more points than Robert Tonyan. But the previous 4 seasons, when Travis Kelce was number 1, the difference between tight end 1 and tight end 3 were 34, 40, 31, and 16 PPR fantasy points. So it was pretty close between tight end 1 and tight end 3. The last 2 years, we've had tight end 1 destroying everybody, tight end 2 destroying everybody but tight end 1, basically. Tight end 3 way behind. Not per game, necessarily, but I thought that was interesting. And how about this? Jamie, give me your thoughts on this stat. Over the last 4 seasons, 50% of the tight ends who have finished top 5 in PPR have been drafted in round 12 or later, including Zach Ertz and Dalton Schultz this year. So half of the 20 tight ends who have finished top 5 in PPR the last 4 seasons were drafted round 12 or later. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. I guess just go back to that the question we got yesterday about us doing a better job of draft prep. So all the tight ends I'm going to recommend are going to be round 12 or later. I mean, you know, you just think about the last 2 seasons with, you know, Robert Tonyan and Logan Thomas and this season with Dalton Schultz and I guess who would be next?
Ertz,
yeah. You know, you think about how that unfolded for Schultz. It was, you know, I don't know if it was the Gallup injury opening things up for him right away and then they just couldn't go away from him. Jarwin getting hurt also. Ertz, we know. So, yeah, it's just, I think one of those scenarios where if you don't, it's great or late. Again, you know, same thing. You know, if you don't get one of the top 5 guys, I think, then you just kind of, you know, maybe punt the position. Now, I do think, you know, we get to the conversation about who's going to be, you know, 6 through 10, for example. If Schultz stays in Dallas, Goddard, depending on where Ertz goes, Hockenson, you know, those four guys, I think, are going to kind of shape the position. And then you get past that, and then it's Noah Fant, depending on who the quarterback is, and is Gronk still there, you know, and who's his quarterback, you know. So Knox and Freiermuth, as we talked about when the Bills were eliminated, you know, just the touchdown potential of Knox in particular, but also Freiermuth. So, yeah, it's going to be top-heavy again. It's just a matter of, can those guys deliver at the top? You know, we're getting a little bit more of a robust group here, where you, at least, you know, Pitt's getting into the top five, and Andrew's doing what he's doing, or doing what he did. You know, that mix of the last couple of seasons of tight ends, you know, 4, 5, and 6 look a little bit better now when you're talking about Waller, Kittle, and, you know, being in that group.
And Dave, you know, the Jamie said tight ends 4, 5, 6, but if you look at rounds 4, 5, 6, that is a risky area to be drafting tight ends. And a lot of guys, how many are going to go before that? Probably 5, right? Probably all 5 of them are going to
be
off. Maybe not.
Five tight ends will be drafted in the first 3 rounds.
In the first 3 rounds,
maybe round 4 for Kittle, but that's going to be a rare exception.
Yeah, I think you can get some bleeding in the early round 4.
That's going to be a big change from what we've seen in the past, because usually that second group is round 4, 5, 6, and usually it's a lot of really bad picks in there. And again, it was 2 of the 3 did not pan out. Kyle Pitts, even though he had a great season, he didn't pan out, and T.J. Hockenson, who was actually 7th per game in PPR, but not even close to that in non. But then again, Mark Andrews was in that range too. So maybe the draft board will just look a little bit different, Dave. Maybe we'll have a gap. I don't know if anyone's going to go in those rounds, really, you know, after those.
There's no chance that they're getting past round 4.
Right. Correct. Right.
And in the 2 mocks that we did, the 5th tight end was taken at 37th overall and 36th overall.
Uh-huh. So is there going to be anyone in that, you know, 50th pick range, rounds 5 and 6, let's say?
Goddard.
You think so?
Yeah.
Goddard will be in there and Hockenson will be in there.
I do think there is a chance. It's probably a mistake, but there is a chance, depending on what the Broncos have to send to the Packers, if there is a trade, that Fant, if he's with Aaron Rodgers, does get pushed into that range because of people like us, not necessarily us on the show, but people in the industry. Noah Fant's time is coming. You know, it's going to be, if there's some way, it's Rodgers, they lose Judy, and it's the 2 outside guys and Fant, you know, because you've heard some compensation about, you know, Judy being part of a package to go to Green Bay, and they don't get Davante Adams. So if it's just, you know, Sutton, Patrick, Fant, Rodgers is there, whoever else is the 3rd receiver that they bring, you know, maybe it's just KJ Hamler, then you're going to hear a lot of, well, Fant is going to be the guy. He's going to be the inside guy. He's going to be the one they lean on, blah, blah, blah. There's a chance he gets into that group, but I think he's still probably closer to 10 than he is to 5. So it's most likely just going to be Goddard and Hockenson.
But we could see that stock rise if that exact scenario happens where there's no Davante Adams and there's no Jerry Jeudy either, meaning that middle of the field is open for Noah Fant. People are going to be excited. And the other thing that I'll point out is that Noah Fant struggled with the last coaching staff that was there, which was a little bit of a surprise because Pat Shurmur usually does like to utilize his tight ends a little bit more. I think it's a combination of the quarterbacks that played on top of him just not being trusted near the red zone. We'll see what happens with the new coaching staff there. He could end up being one of those.
Well, it's the quarterback that matters more than the coaching staff.
I think so too, but listen, in this case, the quarterback matters more because it's Aaron Rodgers. But if it was a different quarterback going to Denver, then I think the coaching staff would definitely have more of a say about who the number one guy, who the number one read is, who the number two read is when they get closer to the end zone. I don't know why it wasn't Fant more often, but that's the way it was in Denver for the past 2 seasons.
Well, what if Dalton Schultz is re-signed by the Cowboys? This was the number 3 tight end, and he had a really good year.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited about him for sure. I would look at him as definitely closer to a top 6 tight end, maybe the next best guy after the first 5, because I just think he's ingrained at this point as a huge part of what the Cowboys offense is. He's tied for 2nd in the team lead in targets last year. I don't see him backing down.
Right, Gallup is gone. You're hearing rumors about Amari Cooper maybe being gone. You know, the report out there that they could use a franchise tag on Schultz, they clearly like him. And so he's a safe option if he stays. He is probably a bust candidate if he leaves, because there's not going to be a situation, I think, where he goes somewhere that he's going to have this type of opportunity and produce like this. We just see it time and time again.
Okay, let's do some sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Dave, give me an early sleeper.
I gave you three on FFT and five. The one I'll give you now is going to be Brevin Jordan in Houston. More of a receiver than a blocking type of tight end. Don't really know who that number two target is going to be in Houston's passing game. We assume if Brandon Cooks is there, he'll be number one. Jordan can take the next step, whether it's with Davis Mills or a better quarterback than Davis Mills. I think that he could take a leap, and he's one of those late-round pick guys that you can get some decent production from.
Brevin Jordan, once upon a time, in the spirit of signing day, was the number one tight end recruit in the country. He's small, though. That's why he fell to the fifth round. He's 6'2", very small for a tight end, but as Dave said, more of a receiver. Jamie, give me your early sleeper.
Let's see. I guess Pat Freiermuth still qualifies, you know, based on how our drafts have gone.
Didn't do your homework last night.
Huh?
Didn't do your homework.
No. I'll go Pat Freiermuth. I think he's still, you know, we got to see the quarterback is there in Pittsburgh, but he'll get better in year two and good late round option.
All right, Dave, give me an early breakout.
An early breakout for 2022. I don't know if Dan Arnold's really going to stick in Jacksonville, but when he did play, he was their most productive tight end. Again, somebody who's more receiver than tight end when he plays, and someone that Trevor Lawrence did lean on a little bit. I could see him having a very nice year, his first full season in Jacksonville. New coaching staff, hopefully a better offense tailored to Trevor Lawrence, and he plays a lot with the Jacksonville offense. Hopefully that happens.
Jamie, you have a breakout?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Hockenson. You know, I think if he stays healthy, hopefully he delivers. Jared Goff, most likely the quarterback once again. And this is an offense I think, you know, you can buy some stock in. You know, we saw Jared Goff make some improvements. Offensive line's going to be really good. Swift will be better. Myron St. Brown's going to be better. They're going to add another receiver to the mix. But I think this is hopefully the year Hockenson stays healthy and finally delivers on what we saw in terms of flashes the last couple of seasons.
Do you know where he ranked in targets per game last year among tight ends?
Probably in top 10.
Fifth. Pretty good.
Who was that, Hockenson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Targets per game.
Okay. Man, I'm trying to think of a breakout. It's not an easy position.
Kyle Pitts.
I mean, fan will be in that category, yeah. Clearly, if they get a quarterback.
You know. Upgrade. Oh, Cole Kmet, man. I like Cole Kmet.
Good for you.
I mean, that passing game is going to be potentially so much better than it was.
Not potentially. It will be much better.
Well, unless Fields just isn't good. But I think he is good. So Kmet, I think, would really stand to benefit there.
Another guy who could use some end zone targets.
All right. How about an early bust? Dave?
I think Fant would qualify. The unsexy pick that I would make would be Mike Gesicki, who is a free agent this offseason. Really disappointed down the stretch with Miami. Had a bunch of like meh games, not necessarily breakout games. That's a tight end that I don't see myself drafting a lot of, no matter where he goes.
Jamie?
I mean, there are two that are obvious to me, and that's, you know, depending on where they end up, but it's Dalton Schultz and Zach Ertz. You know, so, you know, two guys that if they leave their teams, you know, and end up in situations where they're going to potentially struggle, Schultz is the most obvious one. You know, so he leaves Dallas. Good luck drafting him as a top 10 tight end. And then for Ertz, he's obviously older. He's, you know, we'll see, you know, what type of situation he ends up in. But I would like to see him stay in Arizona, especially looking at what the receiving core looks like right now. But if he's gone, then probably hands off for me.
He averaged 11.5 PPR points per game with the Cardinals last year.
That's really good.
Many busts at this position last year based on the ADP. It's ugly.
You know, I wanted to look up ADP or where this guy went in our drafts. I'm looking at a tight end that went in our half PPR draft in round 8, in our full PPR draft round 10, Dawson Knox. Curious where he's going to go this year, this upcoming year. What do you think about
Knox? I could see him getting overdrafted a little. You can't complain about round 10. Can't really complain that much about round 8 either, but he definitely still fits the profile of a touchdown needy tight end who will occasionally eclipse 70 yards in a game.
I wish we would have gotten a chance to see, you know, he had the broken hand when he was really starting to play at his best. And then he came back and he had some good moments, but it just wasn't the same. And so, you know, just that lost time, I wonder how much that impacted him.
So many terrible games from Dawson Knox. You know, his Look, his yards last five games, including the playoffs, and he played 88% or more of the snaps in every game. 11 yards, 0 yards, 49 yards, 89 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and 9 yards. That is 3 games out of 5 with fewer than with 11 or fewer yards, plus 5 for 89 and 2 against the Patriots in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Remember, Josh Allen was – they had bad weather in some of those games. Josh Allen wasn't tearing it up down the stretch in those games. Two of them were against New England. One was great. But, yeah, you know, if he's the same type of player, then – he's going to be disappointing, but if he continues to improve, then.
But it's the greater late. You know, if you miss, this is the perfect guy to go target because you know you'll have some big weeks. He'll help you win. There'll be some weeks where he just frustrates the hell out of you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you might be dropping him after week 4.
But round 8 is not late.
No,
but round 10 is.
Yeah, round 10 is late.
He might be the top name on your list when you get to the late round tight ends. And you probably won't even care who the Bills are playing in week 1, 2, 3. You're just going to say, okay, this is a guy that, you know, scored 9 touchdowns last year and has a chance to score no matter who they play because of who his quarterback is. He was 20th in targets per game among tight ends last year, by the way.
All right, that's Dawson Knox we're talking about. That wraps up our tight end discussion. And when we come back, you know, you may have heard yesterday on the show that I am C-3PO. I closely identify with a lot of C-3PO's traits, just being very nervous.
Yeah, annoying and talk a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, but also very lovable. but, you know, according to one of our YouTube commenters, I am not C-3PO. Find out who on this show is and Star Wars characters for all of us, plus your emails and some news right after this on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to the show. Oh, dear. Who is C-3PO? Well, Nick Ebmeyer commented, Adam is not C-3PO, it's Chris. Always extra calculated, but still nervous. Adam is Jar Jar Binks, always forgetting laptops and causing chaos. That makes Dave Yoda, because he's so calm and wise. Shraggy B is R2-D2, because he's always pressing buttons and saving the day. Heath is Chewy because of the beard and the sound effects. Jamie is Poe Dameron. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Because he's always so intense in a combo of savior plus devil's advocate. All us listeners are Grogu, just trying to make it through the day. I don't get all of that.
Heath. So if Heath were Chewy, what would a Chewy sigh sound like? So
yeah, that's for you to perform.
Chewy, obviously, you know, most of that. And then a sigh would be like.
Is it this one? Oh, gosh. That's the compilation. yeah. It's pretty good.
You gotta have like, you gotta be more, you know, you gotta get in there.
No, it's like, you gotta sigh.
Like you're doing the Chewbacca noise while you puke.
Which a lot of our listeners just did, by the way. All right. So, Dave, congratulations. You're Yoda. Yoda's the best character, and that's you. Way to go.
Yes, because I'm just glad he didn't say Jabba the Hutt.
And even though I've never
Thank
seen...
Thank you for building my confidence a little bit.
I've never seen the Jar Jar Binks...
Wise comment that was.
I've never seen the Jar Jar Binks once, but even I know I don't want to be Jar Jar Binks.
No.
Yeah. News and notes.
You, that's the one. Just avoid that movie.
That's the first one?
Yeah. Watch the next two. Watch Rogue One.
Yeah.
And then watch the final three.
Just 6 movies. No big deal.
I mean, you already started. Just have your wife go to sleep early and you get to watch all the movies you want.
Have you guys, Adam, I know the answer to this for you is no. Have you, Jamie, watched The Book of Boba Fett?
Not yet. No, on my list.
We're through four episodes. I love it.
On my list,
I might love it.
I might start it today when I do my next Peloton ride.
You're gonna end up finishing it today. It's so good.
That's what
very
I keep
bingeable.
Hearing. Yeah, I keep hearing great things. I started watching the South Park post COVID movie last night, which is really funny.
That's on Paramount Plus, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I fell asleep, but I was cracking up. The whole premise is so funny that it's South Park post COVID. And they're in their 30s, it seems. It's like COVID lasted like 3 decades, which is just, it's very, because like they start off with everybody's throwing away their masks and it's like, oh, COVID's finally over. And then you see they're in their 30s. But it's very funny so far. Check it out on Paramount Plus. Yeah. News and notes. CJ Uzama and Tyler Higbee have sprained MCLs in the Bengals-Rams upcoming Super Bowl.
Can I tell you, when you were starting to get into the tight end preview, but you veered off until saying this was going to be the best season ever, I thought this is where you were going. And you said, when we get to the Super Bowl, I'm like, is he going to start with Uzama and Higbee? Like, this is the tight end talk?
No, I just spared the listeners. Meanwhile, the Rams haven't had their starting safety, Taylor Rapp, for the entire postseason. He's had a concussion. They're optimistic that he'll be back for the Super Bowl. And even bigger news, public schools in Cincinnati are getting the day after the Super Bowl as an off day. Which is going to be great. It's going to be very, very celebratory, or just kids staying home after the Bengals lost.
We'll see. You were the Bengals, would you displace the Rams out of their locker room to take the locker room because you're the home team? Or would you just say, you know what, you guys stay where you are. We're coming in anyway. We'll take the visitors' locker room.
Wow.
How much nicer is the home locer room from the visitors?
You got to assume it's nicer. Yeah. I mean, that's a brand new stadium. It's probably high end.
How big is the gap between the bathroom stalls? Can someone peek in between if they wanted to see if somebody was in there or not?
No, these are not stalls.
That would be uncomfortable.
These are doors that close, you know, they go all the way to the bottom. You can't even see the feet.
Yeah, so you don't even know if anybody's in there.
For that, by the way.
You lock it, you know, and you have to actually get up on a stool. Trust me, you have to get up on a stool and look over to see in. But,
I'm still in therapy for that one.
I think I would take the home locker rooms.
I can't believe I still talk to you after that.
I think I would take the home locker rooms. What about you?
So you would be a jerk.
I mean, it's definitely gamesmanship, you know, to, okay, you know what? You guys got to walk in the building, go in the other place, and we have your locker. Like, if I was, Jamar Chase, I'd be like, I want Jalen Ramsey's locker. I'd be standing in front of it, posting pictures.
You know? It's only gonna feel amazing and be a footnote if they win, though. Because then they're like, we're celebrating in your locker room.
They can stand outside if they win. They don't care. Yeah. I would probably not take it. Like, what's the point? They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I would take it. I'm a jerk.
I don't think I could see Joe Burrow sitting at his press conference after the game going, I think we would have won if we had just taken their locker room.
No, but you want a better locker room, you know?
How long are you in there for? A few hours?
That's a big deal.
Look, as long as it's not like the locker rooms at the Oakland Coliseum, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah. No sewage.
But you're making them clear out all their stuff. That's the thing. It's like,
Right.
I think it might be half cleared out anyway. They don't use it every day.
No, but they don't have to clear out their stuff until after the season's over. And
I mean, that locker room might be empty right now anyway.
All right,
other than like the name tags.
Move on. Washington is preparing to take a big swing at quarterback this offseason, according to Albert Breer.
Well, good for the Commanders.
That was about 20 other teams.
The Raiders players were reportedly disappointed that Josh McDaniels was hired.
I would be too.
They really liked Rich Bisaccia, and they didn't show up to the press conference for McDaniels. No players were there. That's not a good way to start.
McDaniels has an abnormally large head.
Does he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like what he said about the Tuck rule.
What he said about the Tuck rule? Yeah. He sheepishly admitted it was a fumble. Jimmy Garoppolo said he was in pain on every play during the postseason. Makes me feel bad for kind of criticizing him.
Yeah, Rappaport said he's headed for thumb surgery, most likely. So
yeah,
when Washington swings for a quarterback, they'll go to the operating table and just say, here, sign this.
But don't use your thumb. All right, let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is from Nathan. Full PPR keeper league, 4 point per passing touchdown, only 2 receivers and a flex. Keep any 3. Jalen Hurts, Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, Javonte Williams, Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle.
Oh, man.
That got better as it went along.
Yes, not Hurts.
No.
For sure.
Not Waddle.
It's actually tough. Cook and Taylor are easy. The tough call would be between Chase and Williams if Williams gets a significant quarterback upgrade, but I'm going Chase.
I would be prepared to go Chase ahead of Williams as well. There's an interesting story in the Denver Post about what the track record has been with running backs under Nathaniel Hackett. And there's been, like, back to his days in Buffalo when he was calling the plays. There was a split. Spiller? Yeah, there's a split between F. Jackson Spiller. Then the year after that, I think Jackson got hurt, and that's why you saw Anthony Dixon get a little bit more work. And then in Jacksonville, it was Leonard Fournette. So might just be a case where when he's got a guy that he knows is good, he's going to lean on him as the primary back. I think we're going to, based on that, I think we're going in a direction that we're going to like with Javonte Williams. But I would still take Jamar Chase over Javonte Williams here.
I mean, that just gives you such a leg up to have a potential top three receiver and those two running backs.
What would it take for you to consider Javonte Williams ahead of Dalvin Cook? Because then you could have Taylor, Williams, and Chase. And if there's no restrictions on how long you can keep a guy, you can keep those three for a long time.
Fair point. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So think about what that would take. But it's pretty incredible when Tyreek Hill is like fifth on the list.
From Matt in Massachusetts, I need to keep seven for next year. It's a 10-team, two-quarterback PPR league. So the main ones that he says are Lamar Jackson. It's a 2QB league. So Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray.
So those two.
Done.
Probably. Yeah. Dalvin Cook. So we need five more. Dalvin Cook, Javonte Williams, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, Stephon Diggs, and Darren Waller. You just have to throw one of those guys back. Dalvin Cook, Javonte, Terry McLaurin, Ridley, Diggs, and Waller.
Right now, I'd be throwing back McLaurin, but depends on where Ridley ends up.
Okay.
I would too.
Heath and I won our 2QB 10-team league with Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray as our first two picks. And it wasn't really because of Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, I must say. It was because of Mark Andrews. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Nathan, for your emails. Everybody, you can leave an Apple Podcast review. You can ask a question or make Star Wars comparisons on YouTube. But always emailing helps, too. It works great. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. That's it for today's show. We will talk to you on Thursday with some projections with Heath and Chris on Thursday's episode of Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.